So sometimes we do have to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And praise God that the Lord gives us a spirit, that His Holy Spirit, that we can be able to do that. And Scripture also tells us that we do not mourn like those who have no hope. Even though we mourn, we have a joy in our heart, knowing that those who are absent here are with the Lord. And so I'm thankful for that today. Thankful for salvation. Thankful for that for sure. For those who've been left behind and those that are here, we still have a battle and a life to live, to what God has called us to do. And we live in a very, very dark world, don't we? We live in a very dark world, and it seems like it's just the lights are getting dimmer. It seems like it's getting dimmer. And even sometimes what we call a church house, it seems like they're getting dimmer. We were sharing anyway this morning that, you know, even during the football Super Bowl, that some thought it was just great to make an analogy or some type of way to connect with the people, that they had to put a Bible and wear football jerseys and kick Bibles across the floor and try to do Bibles between goalposts. And so they literally would hike a Bible across the staging area, and then the preacher would come up and just kick the Bible. And it was like, I was like, what are we doing? What are we doing when darkness is intervening and getting not just into the church, but even getting up into this area to say what? Because you're supposed to trust what comes out of the mouth of the individual, and praying that this person is preaching the Word of God. Amen? And analogies are great, but we have to be careful that we're not using them just to draw crowds, and we're not using them to look good and just be in the just to make people happy and to say, hey, that was such a great service. That was a great service. Gotta remind you that sometimes a great service is when people are all in tears repenting before God, not shouting and always running around thinking that how can we outdo next week. But I just want to remind you today that as I always do, that just because a building has a steeple doesn't mean that it is a Bible-believing church. We don't need to be kicking Bibles, the Word of God, around and throwing passes across with Bibles across the staging area. This doesn't make any sense to me at all. I think today we've forgotten a little bit about the reverence of God. I forgot about the reverence of the things of God. As the parable said, that one man taxed, this man can always come down and say, right in the front, Lord, I gave my tithe, I follow the law, yet I'm glad I'm not like that guy over there. And the guy over there was in the back, and he said, Lord, I'm not even worthy to come. And God says, it's that man who is justified today. It is that man who is justified today. But folks, we do live in a dark world, and the world is very dark. But I want to remind you that if there is light, the light comes from God's blessings, and light comes from those who are believers. The light is supposed to come out of the believer to shine on the darkness, that they may see your good deeds and then end up praising your Father. Basically, they come and they become believers as well, because they see and hear the gospel. But not only just hear the gospel, they see you living out the life that God's called you to live. Today we're talking about a spiritual warfare piece. I kind of tackle it once a year, sometimes more of a series, but this time right now I just want to hit one Sunday for it. But I want to share with you what is spiritual warfare. If you take notes, this is one of those times when you just start jotting it down, because we're going to be running through some things. But what is spiritual warfare? It is really that fight against darkness that battles against the believer. That's what it is. That's what it is. So we're going to tackle this today in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to tackle a few verses there today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to ask you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. In the meantime, I want to pray. Father, Lord, we thank you again just for this opportunity to be able to share into your word, eat from this word of knowledge, that you put it forth inside of us, that we may obtain what we can learn today. We know that sometimes we read scripture, we don't obtain it all. But Lord, if we don't read any of it, we don't obtain nothing. But if we can read your scripture, we will get something out of it. And I pray today that each one of us will get something out of your word today. We're loving, we thank you. be with us in this time. May your will be done. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So Scripture tells us in chapter 10, this is kind of there. If you want to, other scriptures you can go to, Ezekiel 28, I believe that's a part of one. I believe there's some in Jude. I believe there's a lot of it in Mark, which is spiritual warfare. It's all throughout the Bible. I think spiritual warfare was also in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden. We also see in 2 Corinthians 4:4. We see some a big aspect of darkness there. But today we're going to just tackle on this area here in Ephesians chapter 6. I want to remind you that each one of us that are believers, we are vulnerable to spiritual attacks. The problem is we want to act like we know a lot about it, but we don't. So we want to say this is a spiritual attack, that's a spiritual attack, when sometimes we just make bad choices and it's the consequences of the sins that we have committed. Sometimes it's just we just don't know. As you go on down further, there's a part we're not going to read today, but I want to tackle this just for a second. It talks about the armor of God. The armor of God is the pieces that God gives to us. You know, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, and all those, right? Here's the thing. If you've ever been in the military, here's the thing. They give you all kinds of equipment when you first get it. Here's the thing. You have no idea how to use it. You also have no idea how to wear it, how to put it on. You don't know how to put a gas mask on. You don't even know how to wear your helmet. You don't even know the uses for a helmet. And here it is. I think that's a lot of what's going on in our churches today, that here it is. We read these scriptures. We think we know, but we don't know, because we just skim over them. We don't understand them. Some of this stuff we may not understand today, but we're going to work through it today to the best of our ability, asking the Holy Spirit to intercede, that we may learn something today, a little bit about spiritual warfare. I believe every split that happens in the church is spiritual warfare. Demonic was working somewhere in it. And here we find this piece here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Be strengthened by the Lord and His vast strength. Here's a warning piece here, that we are called to be strengthened. There's times when, listen, you're not as strong as you were yesterday. Sometimes you're not as strong today as you were 3 years ago. Sometimes our strength is not at the same level all the time. It's not always at the same level. But I want to remind you, Jesus, His strength is always the same. Strong. He's the Son of God. God is the Creator. There's strength there. Finally, be strong by the Lord and His vast strength. Here it is. I want to just tell you this. You cannot win spiritual warfare battles on your own. You can't do them. They are not physical, even though that parts of it can be physical. But it is not a physical battle that you win. It is not a physical battle that you can put something. You can't put a demon in a headlock. You can't do that. I've heard preachers say, I did a backflip on the devil. I did this. I did that. Listen, we don't do anything. It is God's power. A person cannot handle the darkness and its powers without Christ. This is why we are filled with the Holy Spirit. People run around and say, I'm going to cast out this, I want to cast out that. Listen, it is only by the power of God that the casting out happens. And listen, some of you know me personally, even in the Southern Baptist world, which I love, I love our people, don't always agree with everything, and they don't always agree with me, and that's okay. We're brothers and sisters. Tell me, what brothers and sisters do you always agree with? Amen? But here it is. When I get on the phone and I call our national offices and I call people that I know, and nobody seems to want to touch this topic. And if they do, it's always surface. It's always a surface piece. But when it comes to experience, people want to run and they want to hide. Listen, we're not supposed to run. We're not supposed to hide. We're just supposed to deal with what's in front of us. Some people want to go chase it. You don't want to go chasing it, because if you're chasing it, it's actually luring you into a trap. And you're going to struggle. Here it is. The Scripture tells us right here that finally He said, listen, you got to be strengthened, but you do it in the Lord's power. That's it. Today I'm only strong in my beliefs because of Jesus. That's it. And his power and His Holy Spirit that dwells inside of me. And if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. But we are also called not to be back and lay back on a lazy boy chair and act like God's going to do everything. We are called to be a people of action. We're called to be a people of action. So here he says this in verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. Here it is. We're not getting into the armor of God today, but it has a list down there of these things that you need to do. You need to put them on. You need to put them on, and you need to wear them. I don't know what it looks like in the physical or in the spiritual world, but somehow they do know who's believers and who's not, and they know when we're weak and when we're not. Darkness is always luring in the shadows. Even when things are great, they're always waiting for an opportunity to pounce on people, on the believer. Especially when you are doing the works of the Lord, you'll go back and you'll read scripture where men and women were doing the works of the Lord, and you'll see the darkness was right there waiting, and the next thing you know, they had opposition, temptation, or whatever they had in front of them. And so the scripture tells us that we need to put on the full armor of God. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rule. So he says our struggle in verse 12 is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. You're not going to go out there and you're not going to defeat. I believe in the end times. I believe the end times. They think that the Antichrist, we talked about the man of lawlessness last week. I believe they think they can win this by physical. You can't. We read last week that the Lord Jesus Christ will defeat them by the word, by the breath of his mouth, by the word of his mouth, by his voice. That tells you about the power of God, huh? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? But he says, what's it look like? So what does it look like? It says, so he says, put on the full armor of God. He says, our struggle, there's a piece saying we have a struggle. Okay, we have a struggle. But it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, evil powers of this darkness, and against evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. There's a whole lot going on there. Don't have a lot of time to go through each one of those, but I want to tell you they are different. If they were not different, we would just see one against evil, but we see differences. And this is where people that will disagree, and they'll say, no, that's just evil. Listen, Jesus is everything. It is who we preach. It is who we teach. It is our He is our salvation. He is our power. He is all those good things. He is our future. He is our now. He is our eternal. He is our eternal promises are with Him by what He did on the cross and was resurrected and all that, fueled and empowered by the love of God from John 3:16. But we know that there is also a nemesis. There is an enemy. And it is Satan, and it is the demonic world that fights against those who are believers. There's a battle going on. God is using us to share the gospel with people that don't know the gospel. And then when they don't receive it, that we don't give up the battle, but that we keep praying for them, that we keep living a lifestyle. Not that we're walking around like we are so much better than everyone, but our hearts are broken because they have not received the gospel. But the other side is working to fight against the light, to fight against the gospel, to fight against that hope. And people may come, they may say it's because of all these things and all this stuff. Really, it's being fueled by darkness. It's being fueled by the kingdom of darkness and Satan himself. Who fuels us? Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, the fruits. And He gives us the fruits of the Spirit. Gentleness, goodness, all those things. The flip side is that darkness, Satan, fuels by evil and sin and all the big lists that the scripture talks about. Gluttony, lying, murder, all those things. There's a whole side to that. And so there's this battle that goes on. And so if we're out there fighting this fight and living for Christ, don't think that we're not going to get into a struggle. So the princes and the rules and principalities are those who have power in small areas and small parts and or larger areas. Powers of this dark world is the darkness that covers the world. Basically, there's really no place to hide except under the wings of the Lord. Spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. These are the fallen angels that reside in heavenly realms that do all kinds of things. There's a whole lot there that I don't want to get into a lot today. But if you want to talk about them later, I can share some personal things with you later. But I want to help you today, really, on what does it look like on a practical side, what it looks like in your life to have and go through a spiritual warfare. How many of you today feel like you've been through, you know for a fact that you've been through spiritual warfare in your walk as a believer? Anybody? Okay, all right. So, and some of you are not sure. How many of you are not sure? It's okay. How many of you are not sure? There's probably more hands that's saying, I'm not sure, but don't want to be embarrassed. It's okay. It's okay. I want to remind you, first of all, that not everything you go through is a spiritual warfare in the way that we think that it is. Also, want to give you a side note. Don't chase this stuff. Deal with it when you need to, but also be prepared to be able to handle some of that. I want to help you with a little bit of that today. So I just want to give you seven signs that reveal that maybe this is not always true, but maybe that you might be going through a spiritual warfare, okay? Because when you go through spiritual warfare, you need to be ready. You need to know who you are in Christ. So many people run and hide. And listen, Satan has too many victories. Has too many victories with believers. Too many. Too many. Number one, here it is. Number one, when you lose your spiritual drive and your desire for Jesus, you're starting. So this is one of the signs here that could be that way. So Satan wants you to lose your hunger and begin to drift away from Jesus himself. It's a slow fade. I think Casting Crowns sing a song called A Slow Fade. And it's so, you don't write a song like that unless you've been through it. That's why some of these singers who write really good songs, and we see them up there on these platforms, and we think everything in life is good for them. Listen, you hear their backstories, you see what they go through. They write good songs because they go through a bunch of stuff in their life. But here it is. When you lose your spiritual hunger, your spiritual drive for Jesus, you just Satan just wants you to lose that and draw your hunger goes to something else where you just drift away from Christ. You start to become critical of the church and you're an unhappy person. You lost your joy as a believer. That there's many times as a part, as a sign that you're going through spiritual warfare because that's not who Jesus made us to be in our new creation. Amen? Amen? Yes. But also I'm going to remind you, sometimes it can be a result of sin, but also Satan can be a part of that. This is where you have to have discernment. You have to be in contact with the Lord. When these things are happening, I want to just tell you that this could be a possible way that when you start going through these things, that you're going through spiritual warfare. There's a battle going on. Number two, when fear becomes you, it's basically when fear takes over. Now listen, I'm not going to ask any raising of hands anymore, but I know this. Many of you have come to me and you battle the spirit of fear. You say, I am afraid. Sometimes we don't even know what we are afraid of, but we are fearful. Some of us are fearful of what's going on in Russia right now. Some of us are fearful that war is coming over here. Some of us are fearful of what's going on in the Middle East. Some of us are just fearful when we read scripture that picks up things and talks about things like Satan and demonic in the dark world. And sometimes we're just even fear of death and those things. So Satan wants you to be afraid. He wants you to be afraid all the time because fear can be a beast. And you that have struggled with fear know you can be big on the outside, but on the inside you can be a very fearful person and you can be afraid. Because listen, fear is an attempt to steal everything that you have that you've been building up and tear it down. This is why Paul told Timothy, God did not give you the spirit of fear. That's a spiritual warfare that Timothy was going through. Paul had to come back and encourage this young man and said, listen, chapter 1, verse 7, he said, for God did not give us the spirit of fear. He didn't do that. The spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So Paul was encouraging this young man. So I want to remind you, even strong Christians can go through times when fear kind of wants to overflow. So fear kind of crushes your courage and your strength. This is why we see in Joshua chapter 1 where God had told Joshua to be strong and courageous. But also I'm going to remind you, when Moses was ready to go, and he told him, the Lord says, I'm not going to be going to the promised land, but listen, God has told me to tell you to be strong and courageous. Side note, what was the deal? What was the thing? What caused the people not to go into the promised land? Fear. 12 spies go into the land. 10 came back. Why? Fear. They're too big. Fear caused 40 years of wandering in the desert. 2 said, we can do this thing. 1 became a new leader, and there's a great piece about Caleb. But that's another message for another day. But here it is. Fear, when fear comes upon you, can say pretty much, and it's overflowing on you, that you could be going through a very strong spiritual warfare. The biggest weapon that Satan uses is that you don't know he's doing it. that you don't know that he's right in front of your face, that he's pulling strings. And all those things are working against you. And you got to know these signs. Number three, all your resources are drying up. You don't understand it. All your resources begin to dry up. Satan wants you to take your focus off of God and put your mind and your eyes on your losses. God wants you. That's why we have to keep our eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ. Because when we take them off Him, we're putting them on something else, and anything else has no strength compared to Christ. So when all your resources are dried up, that's a possible way. You begin to second guess God. You begin to second guess your choices and the decisions that you make. And then you begin to say, does God even care about me? Like, how in the world did all this happen? Because Satan has been picking and hitting you from different sides. And when all your resources dry up, some people just find out really God uses it as a faith test too, because sometimes God allows these things to happen, and He'll use them for good in a way that we may not understand it in the moment. Number four, your family and your business, your ministry, they're all taking several hits at the same time. Satan will attack what you love the most. He'll attack what you love the most. He attacks what we love the most. He attacks our blessings. God has blessed us. God maybe has blessed you in certain ways, but Satan loves to attack those blessings. Experienced that a few times. And that's a sign that you could be going through a spiritual warfare in your life. Number five, old friends and past habits begin to show up. I haven't heard from this guy for a while. I haven't heard from this girl for a while. And you know, they were, let me just remind you, the old good old days back in the day, probably not as good as you think that they were. They weren't as good as everybody says that they were. Hey, you remember the time we did this? You remember the time we went out here and done that? And I'm going to tell you, Satan sometimes is right in the mix of that. You've been saved for 6 months. You've been saved for 6 years. You're in a low point. You're struggling. You're just struggling with some things in life. You've been a Christian for 6 years. All of a sudden, somebody comes up out of your past. And somebody else comes up out of your past. And you can be easily saying, well, none of my brothers and sisters have called me for a while. I knew old Johnny was going to be good. Come on, man, let's go. And Satan goes, gotcha. That didn't take long. Satan has patience. Jesus was in the wilderness of the desert for 40 days. Satan will wait until the opportune time. When he thinks that you are at your weakest. Old friends, old acquaintances start showing up. Your emotions become attacked. Let me remind you, the pig pen is not for Christians. That's for the lost to be pulled out to become a Christian. Why are Christians going back to the pig pen? Because they're defeated. They're defeated. They lost their spiritual warfare battle. And they lost it. The victory. And they sit in the pig pen, wallowing in their sin. But I want to remind you, don't give up. Keep praying for them. God has a long arm. And God can return them. Number six, pulling away from godly relationships. Here's what we see when something goes on. Pulling away from godly relationships. Satan wants to draw you away from Jesus and lean on yourself. Here it is. Now we get into the self-pity part, a lot of it. Here it is. Satan wants you to lean on yourself. I can tell you this. When I leaned on myself, I didn't get very far. If I'm going three steps forward with Jesus, when I go back, it's usually me leaning on myself. And Satan wants you to do that. He wants you to pull away from godly relationships. He wants you to stop attending church. He wants you to get angry with the church. He wants you to stop fellowshipping. He wants you to stop praising. Because when you do all that, you stop reading your Bible and you stop praising God. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing, though? Isn't that the main thing? Drawing close to the Lord. And then we stop spending time with family. And we point a finger at them saying, oh, they just think they're all that. They're always right. Mom thinks she's always right. Dad thinks she's always, he thinks he's always right. Always about Jesus, always about this. But here it is. They stop spending time with family. And I want to tell you, isolation is a dangerous place. Idle time will get you in trouble probably faster than any other thing. Probably even faster than friends coming by. Because when friends come by, there's a lot of voices going on. But when it's idle, you're listening to your own thoughts, yourself. And then Satan loves to get involved with all of that. And it becomes, oh, I might as well just do it. And people do it. Number seven, another a piece or a sign that we may be into a spiritual attack in our life is discouragement, depression, and then even thoughts of suicide. Let me remind you, that's not of the Lord. That's not of the Lord. At all. Life is a gift. Life is a gift. God breathed a living spirit into this mold of a person, and this mold of a man, and God breathed a living spirit in it, and he became alive. What a gift. God gave man breath, a living spirit. Amazing. That we might live. But we see in the end that the Lord Jesus will use his mouth and breath to destroy the works of Satan himself. Discouragement is a tough place to be. When you're discouraged and you're depressed, the worst thing you can do is turn around and isolate yourself and to do those things. It's very difficult sometimes to go through hard times. And Satan will tempt and try to get into your world. And try to get you to think negative about those who are around you. I got a few minutes left. I want to share a couple more things with you today. So those are the things that could be a sign that you might be going through spiritual warfare. But also I want to share with you here that he says this. He says this in Scripture. He says, for this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the day. In the evil day, and having prepared everything to take your stand, and it gives a list. The scriptures are telling us today, and then the next verse would say, stand. Here it is. We are to stand and fight this thing. We are to stand and fight these spiritual attacks. We are called to stand and persevere with this list of armor that God's given to us. I want to remind you that believers triumph. They do. I want to read a couple of scriptures before I give you this real quick list here today. I want to read something out of John chapter 17. John chapter 16, I'm sorry, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Did you hear that? Jesus told him, you will have suffering in this world. How many of you suffered in this world? Now, some of us feel like we've had suffering, but suffering is all kinds of different levels. But he says, we will have suffering. But he said this, be courageous, for I have conquered the world. Your version might say, I have overcome the world. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, listen, you're going to suffer, but I want to tell you, I've overcome all of it. You're victorious in me. Jesus has it. He has it. It is amazing peace. I love it. I love that. Also, I want to go into Romans chapter 8 really quick. He says, this is verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that good? Isn't that good to knowing that we have a God that loves us and he cares for us? Here's a couple of things I want to share with you on how to work through these things. what's helped me in these times of spiritual warfare. Number one, I pray with all my heart and all my hope is in Jesus. That's it. I got to step away from all these books. I got to step away from all the things. Here it is. Everything is all in Jesus. Got to put it in Him because He's the one that wins the battles, not me. So here it is. I got to pray with all my heart and all my hope is in Jesus. Number two, I don't have to understand why or understand everything that is going on, but I pray to the one who does. I'm not going to understand everything. It's too complicated for me. There's things going on in my life. There's things going on in your life. And when demonic is working, you don't always see it. Most of the time, you're not going to see it. There's some of us that have seen it, and it is something that once you see it, your eyes are open, and your life is never the same. Sometimes God just allows it to happen, and sometimes He doesn't. But there's still things that we don't understand, but we leave it to Him. Amen? Because He knows everything that's going on. That makes me feel good right there. I don't have to know everything, but I know that He does. I know that He does. Number three is my prayers are more deep and more personal when I'm going through spiritual warfare. My prayers are more deeper. They just are. And they're more personal. Sometimes maybe God allows it to happen and says, hey, Jimmy, we need to talk. You need to talk not at me. You need to talk about me. I want to hear you talk with me. I want you to listen. So sometimes God allows and takes something that's negative and hard. He allows us to go through it and it ends up being something that is good for us on the outcome. Number four, I eat more of God's word, more God's bread, more of His word when I'm in spiritual warfare. That's what you're going to do. That's something that you might want to do. You read God's word more when you go through spiritual warfare. You just do. Number five, when loneliness comes in like a flood, you got to talk to Jesus. It always comes back to Him. When you feel lonely, it's the worst thing you can do is isolate yourself. So here it is. When you're lonely, loneliness comes in, you need to talk to Jesus. That's what I want to do. Number six, Psalms have gotten me through more storms than anything. The book of Psalms. I don't know what it is, but I think God allowed us to have a man write so much of the book of Psalms. Men, Asaph, many of them were written by David. Men who had broken hearts and broken lives and all those things they went through. And they've written them. God spoke through them and God put the words in there and they have still helps us today. When I'm going through a storm, I'm telling you, the book of Psalms always ends up being opened in my life. And I'm reading it. Number seven, when the hits just keep on coming, you know what that is, right? When the hits just keep on coming, basically, folks, it's like this. I can't take anymore what the world's going on. And so you got to kind of let out a battle cry. And my battle cry isn't, I'm speaking against this. I speak against you. No, my battle cry has always been this. Come on, Lord, what is going on? I don't get it. I don't understand it. What's going on? This happened, that happened, that happened. Listen, I would rather be talking and saying, crying my cries out to Him than at what's going on because I can't fix that anyway. So I've learned that way back in the day. Like, Lord, what's up? I pull that truck over. I pull that car over. What's going on? Now, somebody drove by. They said, that's a nut. That dude's crazy. And you know, when I drive by now, I'm thinking, oh, that person's probably, I see that happen. I've seen it a few times. I said, that person's, wait a minute, maybe not, because that was me. I've been there. Maybe that person's just having a moment with God, and they're just getting frustrated with life. Listen, I'm a believer. You're a believer. You ever just get frustrated with what's going on in the world? Not just what's going on in the world, but what's going on in your own front door, in your own house. Like, why is everything so chaotic? Why is this thing a hot mess? What's going on with my kids? What's going on with my bank account? I put five in, I got two. What's going on? I don't get it. You know what? I can try and get mad at the bank. I can go over here and say, Carla, what's going on? Or whatever. I can yell at, no, no, no. I got to find my spot and say, Lord, what is going on? And sometimes the Lord has said, I finally got your attention, buddy. Now you want to talk to me. You see, God takes things that the devil does and He turns it for good. And sometimes God says, yeah, it can happen. Because He didn't tell it to the dark side, but God sometimes says, she needs a wake-up call. He needs a wake-up call. That couple needs a wake-up call. That church needs a wake-up call. Whatever it may be. Our battle cry should be always to God. And anytime I've yelled at God at times, you know, I always end up doing? Repenting. I'm going to let you in on one real quick. I'm in my house. It's a big hot mess. Not in our marriage, not in my family, but just things in ministry. And I walked in, I was in my house by myself, and I just yelled at God. I said, God, come on, what is going on here? I can't tell. What in the world are you doing? And then I had to sit on my bed, and I had to say this, and it just hit me. Who am I to talk to God like that? Because there's a difference when you cry out to God, and there's a difference when you yell at God. I'm serving you. I'm doing this. I'm trying to do this. Why is this going on? And I had to stop. And the Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? Never told you it was going to be all good and rosy. So I sat there, and I repented. And then I got a phone call. I said, amen. Ring. And Bob called me. Yeah. I don't need any more, right? I don't need any more problems. Bob had called me earlier in the day, very early in that morning, and then he called me back and said, we got our house. And that was our first women's house. Why did God have to do it all like that? Because there's something I needed to make sure of. He needed to make sure of me. I needed to be set at a different... He had to get my attention because everything was going on, and it's okay. Number eight is, I spiritually grow stronger after spiritual warfare. You just do. You spiritually grow stronger after spiritual warfare. If you don't, there's something wrong. The battle just may have taken a moment, a breather. It may not be over. You should grow after spiritual warfare. Every time you should grow. If you don't, there's something wrong. Another thing that I know is, I know there's another battle over the horizon. So sometimes God allows these things to happen because he knows what's going on. 2 or 3 years, he knows that there could be a big one coming up around the corner or over the horizon that I have no clue what it is, or you have no clue what it is in your life. But God is allowing these things to help you gain experience and understanding, more reliance on God, all that stuff, so that you know when this big one comes, you're going to be able to stand your ground with the Lord. Just because you go through one spiritual warfare doesn't mean you're not going to go through another one. Listen, right now, if you need to pray for people, you need to pray for the ones that have lost people, and they'll get through that. That it is, and it's tough, it's hard, and that's something to do. I want to tell you, if there's someone that you need to be praying for right now, it is Phil and Ashley, getting ready to start a church in Fort Wayne. I'm telling you, that is not just a light from people. That is a lighthouse. That new churches shine, a light looking. And I'm telling you, churches are more vulnerable in the beginning than most of the rest of the time. And Satan would love just to snuff that out and said, we're not having that in Fort Wayne. We're not going to have that. I'm going to attack. So we need to be praying for them as they go through that. Amen? And number 10, Jesus has never failed me yet. Jesus has never failed me yet. So why are we so discouraged? Why are we so down in the dumps for so long? If we can say, Jesus has never failed me yet, then why are we doing that? We should say, you know what? I know I have victory coming around the corner, but not in a false way, not in a prosperity way, just in the way that we know this, just a basic this, that Jesus is Jesus. He hasn't let me down yet. He has always showed up. He's always taken care of me. He's always walked with me. He's always been there. And whatever the Scripture says he is, he is. And anything else is a lie from the pits of hell. It's time, folks, that we start trusting Jesus. Not just as our Savior, but as our guide. As our God. We need to trust Him for everything. 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 Jesus says, take courage, for I've overcome the world. If he's overcome the world, he can overcome your problems. And he can overcome my problems. Today was just a very brief piece of spiritual warfare. And some of you know, like, man, we could have gone here, we could have gone there, and it's true, we could have gone. But we went where we felt, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was leading today. And I don't believe you do spiritual warfare messages just to fill a gap. You do it for people to learn. You do it for people to be aware. You do it for people to grow and be discipled. These are things that strengthen us as a believer. And I pray today that you've been strengthened as a believer. But also know that demonic sometimes puts its claws in us and it holds us down and says, you're a loser and you're always going to be a loser. You're drunk and you're always going to be a drunk. God wouldn't take you anyway. You're too bad. I'm going to tell you, those are all lies. The Bible says that we are new creations when we come to Christ. He creates us. We are a new creation in Christ. The Scripture also says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God in Romans 3:28. For all have sinned. But the Bible also says that Jesus came so that all might be saved. So all the hard stuff that we see and all the sinful stuff that we see, we find out that Jesus is the answer for all those. And maybe you're struggling in a battle today that you need to let go and let God do His thing. From the very beginning, we found out that you can't win this without Christ. You can't do it. You just can't. So I want to ask that you pray to the Holy Spirit, to the Lord right now. And what is He revealing to you? What does He need to work on with you? What is it? What is it? And with that, we're going to go ahead and stand. And our time has come for this time of altar.